Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela.
We'll be right back.
The new Channel Q.
Good morning. Happy Monday. AJ Gibson here with my girl, Michaela Gordon.
Good morning. It's Monday and the day after the Oscars.
It's a big day. We've got a lot to cover.
We sure do. A lot happened last night.
So much happened last night. You look cute, by the way.
Thank
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on a Monday morning.
Oh my God. It might be that fake spray tan I put on last night for you.
Why?
Because I have things to do today and this week, so I had to tan myself.
You have a big day tomorrow.
I do. I'm so excited. Thank you. I'm singing with the LA Philharmonic for a new festival that they're starting. My show kicks it off. You know, they're trying to bring more diversity. So they're having more queer and people of color and women empowerment in their shows.
And you're singing in German?
I'm singing in German and I'm so excited. But speaking of diversity, the Oscars was taking a lot of slack.
Because so much.
They said there was no diversity.
Hashtag Oscars so white.
Oscars so white. And we're going to recap this because we have a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
Including and starting with Frozen.
Oh, gosh.
With Idina Menzel and then the nine other Elses that came out.
Or Adele Dazeem.
Or Adele Dazeem.
John Travolta. They brought that up so many times last night.
Oh, my God.
He was getting dragged.
He was getting dragged.
We talked about that on Friday. We were ahead of the curve, Michaela.
Yeah, we were. We
Look
always
at us.
Are.
We're pop culture influencers, everyone.
Yeah. You guys like that? Follow us on Instagram. Got it?
Yeah.
But more importantly than the Oscars, also nominations for the Razzies have come out.
Way more important, clearly.
And we've got to talk about it.
What'd you do this weekend besides Oscars? Anything fun? Anything exciting?
You know, I was really preparing. I do. I'm singing this week. Tomorrow's the big show. And it's funny because the music that we're doing, we're going to talk to the people that I'm singing with, Betty and Jack Lipson, later on in the show. But it's music that takes place in the 1920s in Berlin.
Mm.
And what I think a lot of people don't know is the music that was written, there's a song called Lavender Song, and it's all about being queer and loud and proud. And there's another song called Chuck Out the Men, and it's women wanting to just take over.
Written 100 years ago.
Written 100 years ago.
How far we've come.
So relevant today. So I was in rehearsals all weekend, and then I decided to go vegan.
Vegan, yeah.
2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get in shape.
She put cream in her coffee this morning. She's like, is this? We had to look at it. We had to look at the little thing. There was little French vanilla, little like blue little pods. They're non-dairy.
Dairy free.
So you're good. I brought you a vegan soup though you need to try.
I know. Cabbage soup, which I'm so excited.
I made it this weekend. It's really good. I made it in between taking down my Christmas tree, which I did this weekend.
Powerful.
And organizing my closet. So I had a really, really exciting weekend. But I'll tell you all more about that later.
It sounded productive.
It was. That's really all it was. Should we be productive? Shall we do a show? Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do the show.
Let's have some news on the beat.
All right, babe. So the New Hampshire primaries are just a day away, and Democratic candidates are still trying to sort through the remainders of last week's Iowa caucus mess. Now, Pete Buttigieg barely edged out Bernie Sanders in Iowa, but CNN's latest poll numbers show Sanders is a favored for a New Hampshire victory. I wonder if that's true. Meanwhile, Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez says he has no intention of stepping down after the Iowa debacle, but conceded that there will probably be a review of whether Iowa should continue to be the first stop in the Democratic nominating process. Iowa also presented another problem for Democrats. Turnout was way lower than expected, about 25% less than when Barack Obama won in 2008.
Well, just last week, Joe Biden said, listen, Mayor Pete is not Obama.
Yeah.
But then Mayor Pete said, either are you. So maybe not inspiring people quite. I think there's so many candidates, people aren't sure.
Yeah, I think so too, but I think that they're both ready. I think that we don't, one is not like the other. We don't have an Obama situation.
I'd vote for you.
Oh my God, I'd vote for you. Thank you. Vote for me now. Vote for me on American Idol. What happened there? I lost. Okay, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. On February 10th, you're in good company. You're celebrating with actress Yara Shahidi from Black-ish, turning 20 years old. Emma Roberts, 29 years old. And singer Roberta Flack celebrates her 83rd birthday.
Strumming my bed with his fingers, singing my life with his words.
Roberta came way before Lauryn Hill.
I was just going to say, I was like, didn't Lauryn know
Roberta? If you're young and listening and confused, there it is. All right, how about let's start off our Monday with a vibe.
Give me
positive
some vibes.
Zen energy. Your true self is saying to you today, you are rising into your fullness and realizing what's possible for you when you express yourself freely. Be yourself, trust yourself, and listen to your heart. Believe. The word believe again.
Again, well, you guys, I don't know if you know this, but it was a super moon this weekend, a full moon, the best time to start manifesting. And me and Lisa did on Friday night. We like wrote in our little journals and we were like thinking about all the goals we want to have.
And you became a vegan.
And then I became a vegan.
Amazing.
So look at that. I'm already on my way to hell. All right, coming up, the Oscars were last night. But what about the coveted Razzies? We've got those nominations coming up next. The Oscars come around every year.
Yeah.
I get more excited about the Razzies because it's a really good opportunity to make fun of yourself. And a lot of times people won't go to the Razzies. However, women like Halle Berry and Sandra Bullock have not only gone, they've given full-on speeches.
Just to give you a little context, if you're not familiar, the Razzies are actually the Golden Raspberry Awards. It's their 40th anniversary this year. They started in 1981, and they give out the absolute worst. So while the Oscars celebrate the best in film, they celebrate the low points of the year. Cats received 9 nominations,
oh
deservedly so. But no, Halle Berry, actually, it's interesting because she won the Razzie for Catwoman in 2004. Just 2 years prior, she won the Oscar for Best Actress for Monsters Ball. But not to be outdone, you mentioned Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock won them both within 24 hours.
Yeah.
She won for a Razzie for All About Steve. Terrible, terrible, terrible film. And less than 24 hours later, she turned around and won for The Blind Side.
Oh my God,
won the
she
Oscar.
Was incredible in
so
The Blind
good.
Side. Oh, she was so good. Well, the nominees are out, so obviously there are some ones that could be expected. Cats did not do well.
Did not, no.
They had a rough... actually did so poorly. Play it louder for the people. That yesterday, which was actually one of my favorite parts of the Oscars last night,
yes.
James Corden and Rebel Wilson went out in their cat costume, hands very visible.
In an actual costume, though, not CGI.
No.
An actual costume, as they probably should have done in the film.
Well, it kind of looked like that. Let's take a listen.
As cast members of the motion picture Cats, nobody more than us understands the importance of good visual effects.
So they're obviously
so
having
cold.
Fun. I wonder if they'll go. I bet you they'll go to the Razzies. I bet you they'll give a speech if they
well,
win.
Well, it's weird because the Razzies are usually the night before the Oscars, but this year they weren't, and we can't find out when they are.
Yeah, there's actually not a time or a date yet, only the nominations.
Justin, our producer, have you found this information yet? We've been digging.
So we haven't found it yet, but the reason why it didn't happen the night before the Oscars is because the Oscars moved up their timeline so much that they're not at the end of the quote-unquote awards cycle.
It was a really short award season, usually between Golden Globes, which I always kick off every year with Dick Clark Productions, and the time that the Academy Awards happen, you usually have a month and a half to 2 months. It was 1 month this time.
Well, I think people are really trying to understand what award season looks like now, with claims of it having not enough diversity, with the viewership not being the same as it used to be. Like, what is happening with
why
awards
why stretch it out
season?
And why make it last so long if you're not really catering to everybody like you should be?
Absolutely. And we're going to go super in-depth on the Oscars, but with the Razzies, other films that have been nominated, Madea Family Funeral tied with Rambo for 8 nominations, including 5 for creator, star writer, and director Tyler Perry. Anne Hathaway, a gay icon, a double nominee for Worst Actress for her performances as British con artist Josephine Chesterfield in The Hustle.
Okay, she was really good in that. I loved that movie.
According to the Razzies, she was not. And a fishing boat captain's ex-wife in Serenity.
Well, you know who she starred next to in The Hustle?
Who?
Rebel Wilson. Wilson also.
Rebel Wilson's not having a good year.
But she is. She was at the Oscars last night. She said it was her first time ever at the Oscars, and she looked fantastic. She looked like a golden statuette. She looked like an Oscar.
She actually looked amazing. I'm excited to see the Razzies. I would go to this.
I would, too.
And I wouldn't even be offended. You know what I was thinking about last night? When everyone was up there accepting their Oscars awards, even for the people that don't win, right, they've just been nominated, or even not, I remember when I would be sitting in acting class, like, first of all, you have to move to LA in order to, like, follow this dream. Then you're in classes. Then you have to get through auditions.
Yeah.
Then you have to book a role.
And there's a lot of luck involved.
A lot of luck. By the first year, so many people have gone back mm-hmm. to their own hometowns. You've stuck it out. You've booked an audition. You've got an agent and manager to send you on these auditions. You finally book it. And then you're in the game long enough where you're an Oscar nominee. I mean...
Well, here, just to be clear, like, there's some good company in these Razzie Award winners. Over the year, there have been six actors who've actually won both an Oscar and a Razzie. Laurence Olivier won a Razzie. Liza Minnelli won a Razzie. That's Kevin right. Costner won a Razzie. Roberto Benigni also won a Razzie in addition to Halle and Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock actually showed up at the Razzies the night before the Oscars and handed out DVDs of All About Steve. So the way the Razzies work, there are 1,771 members in the Razzies from over two dozen countries. So it's a worldwide thing. And in order to be a member in this academy, you pay a $40 fee online.
I'm joining. Stop. I'm joining.
Let's figure this out.
$40?
Oh.
I thought you were going to say something else.
$40. Okay.
Oh, for $40, you're getting my opinion, not only on Channel Q.
I think we should, Justin, let's just play some music while we go online and sign up to be Razzie Academy members.
Wait, can we do it right now?
Let's look into it.
Oh, it's over for you, bitches.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
You know what, Michaela? You know what I consider progress?
What?
When it's the morning after the Oscars, we still have so much we want to dig into regarding the Oscars. We want to talk fashion. We want to talk our favorite moments of the night. Queer representation at the Oscars
mm-hmm.
opened up with Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter. But it's an embarrassment of riches right now. I feel like it's one of those rare moments where there's a lot to talk about in the community.
Yeah.
Just the night before,
yeah.
RuPaul hosted Saturday Night Live. This is iconic. It's a big deal.
It was a big deal. Listen, Channel Q is on a group thread of text messages.
With RuPaul, Billy Porter, and yes, Janelle Monáe.
I didn't want to say it, but it's true. We are friends
Can
with
you
all
imagine?
Of those people. And we were all really excited because, you know, here's the thing. We love RuPaul here at Channel Q. And what he's done for the community has been incredible. It was really unfortunate when his talk show got canceled. We kind of saw it coming. But then he came out with AJ and the Queen on Netflix. We're waiting to see if it's got picked up for a season
still
two.
Still salty about the title. We can't use it ever.
Oh, my God. I know.
This show could be called AJ and the Queen.
And he ruined it for us. But we were really excited because RuPaul has never been on Saturday Night Live.
Which is crazy to think about.
It's so crazy. And we've never really had that type of representation on SNL. Then they were saying, is he going to be in drag? Is he not going to be in drag? How will he do this?
So, any way he wants, apparently.
Any way he wants and did. He took some of the most legendary moments of his career, brought it to Saturday Night Live, one including. So everybody knows that drag queens reading to kids in libraries is a big deal right now.
Yep.
We had Pickle, who's a drag queen, on the show just a few weeks ago, who does drag time reading as well. So let's take a listen to RuPaul in a library reading to the children.
Now, I'll show you how to read. Then you try. What's your name?
Her name is Caitlin.
Can she read?
She's starting to, yeah.
Oh, Caitlin, sweetie, I bet you have plenty of washed up basic little friends that you cannot wait to read the film. Am I right?
So you think he's going to read them books? No, he's teaching them how to read each other.
For filth.
For filth. So he's like, he's pulling out all of your favorite childhood books. As he's thinking you're gonna hear it. It's at some point though, the teacher's like, listen, I don't know if this is going so well. Let's take a listen to RuPaul's comeback.
Reading is what? Fundamental. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry when you put it like that. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Harriet the Spy. Girl, bye. Next.
at this spot. Girl, bye.
Too good.
So funny. It was, I feel like, you know, we made this comment during the break. Middle America probably still is so confused does not get it. Mm-mm. But for the people that love RuPaul, I was having so much fun with it.
I remember learning to read in my early 20s. When I was first going to the gay clubs in Columbus, Ohio, we used to go to this club called Axis back in the day. And my little group of friends that sort of like took me under their wings, they would put eyeliner on me. I would borrow my girlfriend's shirt. Sometimes there'd be glitter involved.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the sassiest group of gays in the world. And I was just this little boy from a little farm town. I had no idea what I was doing. But I learned very quickly to like survive in that group. I had to learn to read.
Well, speaking of gay clubs, now there's another part of SNL when RuPaul meets Chad. And Chad is played by Pete Davidson. And RuPaul is looking for the next big drag star. So let's take a listen to when he meets Chad.
Drag needs someone new. Someone like that. Who are you? Chad. Everyone, take five. Leave me with the future of drag.
Yes. Now, of course, the way he ends it, which was so funny. If you are a fan of Designing Women, you knew what was happening right away. The whole skit is that they're at dinner with a coworker and they're acting like they're treating her very poorly. They're not. But he stands up with his co-host, with his friend, as Designing Women, and listen to what he has to say.
And Candace, just so you know, and so your children will know, tonight is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
I love how much this whole night was catered to the community.
It was. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people were criticizing Saturday Night Live, saying the rest of the show, while RuPaul was, like, strutting, the show was very wobbly, and Justin Bieber wasn't even that great of a musical guest. But for me, that's not what it was about. I had so much fun just watching RuPaul in his element. I thought he killed it. I thought everybody supported him really well, and I could not get enough of it.
Well, Bruce says, look, I'm not an actor. I'm a big, bright, fabulous star. So true. And I love that SNL was willing to have RuPaul on and Justin Bieber in the same night.
Yeah, I do.
You know, there's a very big message there. Justin's one of the biggest superstars in the world. He's been very like open about being like a man of faith recently and finding his way back to and to put those two together and to see how I think it worked really, really well.
I do too. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, did you ever hear your mother when she told you, don't do something that can make you blind? Well, we're catering back to the community and to men, because you're never going to believe what could be harming you and making you go blind. Stick around.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
Michaela, you have people like literally sweating right now.
Yeah, they should be.
I just got a text from somebody in my life who said, oh my God, am I going to go blind?
Well,
I won't say who it is.
It's important. You want to know.
Fine, I'll tell you. It's my boyfriend.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you lead this conversation because apparently erectile dysfunction pills can permanently distort vision. So, I mean, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, so a study out of Turkey.
As a lesbian.
As a lesbian, this is something you're very concerned about.
And a thespian. I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's the day after the Oscars. She's really ill. I think acting I'm Christian kick Wick. Right now.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about these erectile dysfunction pills.
Well, a Turkish study reveals a pattern of male patients who are suffering from color vision disturbances, men who have been taking Viagra for erectile dysfunction. They actually, their vision can be blurred, but also they tend to see things in a blue tinge, which is kind of interesting to me because the pill's blue.
A little blue pill.
And it can actually make you see blue.
Well, here's my question. Now, I'm going to pretend like if I were a man. Like, do I want to see or do I want to have sex? I'm going to go with having sex. I might take the risk.
Well, yeah, there are over 30 million men in the United States alone who suffer from erectile dysfunction. So it's a very real thing. Like, that's a choice you make whether you're single in a relationship. It doesn't matter. It's part of being a man.
What happens when it just doesn't get...
The penis? It's flaccid. It stays flaccid and it can't function. Whether you're flying solo or like with someone.
So you could be like in the moment getting really excited and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So you take this little blue pill and it helps you.
Yeah, for like it can last for hours.
So then do you just walk around for hours?
It can happen. Or
is it uncomfortable?
Well, I think it can be very uncomfortable.
Have you ever taken it? Tell me.
No.
Yes, you have.
No, I've never had the issue.
If I were a man, I would have at least tried it. Well, I just want to know what it does. I might try it now as a woman.
Okay,
what would it do to me?
There have been times in my life where maybe I've had a little bit too much bourbon, where it's been difficult, where I've been like all there.
Oh, so the drinking could kind of affect it.
1,000%.
But women would never take this. What happens if I did?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Well, there are side effects. So, I mean, if I were to take this, there are a litany of side effects that can happen.
Okay, tell me.
So, upset stomach, blurred vision, we already talked about, stuffy, runny nose, headaches, muscle pain. So, I mean, your entire body might be in pain and aching, but at least you'll have
That's not from the pill. That's from going at it for 48 hours.
I can't imagine lasting that long. But yeah, I mean, there are other things that can lead to. So there are ways to sort of avoid erectile dysfunction, smoking, drinking, stress, other drug interactions. So 30 million men are suffering from this, and they're not all taking this pill, and maybe you might want to think twice about it, according to this Turkish study. Blue vision. You would
blue
see things. Things would look blue to you.
Okay, I'm trying to think that.
My soul would be blue though if I couldn't perform. I feel like it really does. I feel like it's so your manhood is so literally attached to being able to perform. As a woman, this is something maybe you don't have to think about. For a lot of men, this is very serious though, and I think it raises some concerns.
Well, I don't know. I guess for women, maybe like when you're, need to get. Turned on as a woman, maybe it's like dry down there, maybe it's the equivalent of that, or like when you're menopause. I don't know. I mean, listen, if I were a guy and I was wanting to have sex and I was having an issue, I would take it.
Yeah, I feel like
I would want to enjoy myself.
I feel like we should speak to a professional this week.
Let's speak to a professional.
Because I mean, it's real though. Being a man in that way is very different from being a woman. If you are aroused or if you're not aroused, it's very visible. It's easy to feel judged or you kind of get panicky. I remember being in high school playing sports and being so afraid of the shower moments. With other male athletes.
Really?
No, yeah, I remember I played.
Like, because of size thing?
No, because if I were to get aroused in a shower.
And then you'd be embarrassed.
I wrote about this in my book. I remember between eighth grade and my freshman year of high school, I'd played football through junior high, and I did not play football in high school because there were some guys on the team that I thought were really attractive that were older, and I kept picturing myself being turned on in the wrong moment and literally being beaten to death. Like, that's what I was afraid of.
Oh my God, this got so dark so fast.
Yeah, it did. Sorry, it took a turn.
No, it's fine. I'm sure this is a concern many have had. I've never even thought about that.
Yeah, but because you can get called out. Whereas a woman, like, you're not going to be able to tell. A woman can physically hide if she's attracted to you. I mean, maybe not you. You're all over me every morning, Michaela. But I see the way you are. Lisa walks in the room. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm so ridiculous.
Are.
Well, listen, I'm excited to continue talking about this. I wouldn't even mind talking about
James
it
Simmons.
With women
maybe you
as
could
well.
Have him in to talk about this.
Yeah, we could.
I don't want blurred. I've never taken this. I was in Mexico last
Just
year.
Just take it. I want you to take it this
you
week.
You can buy Viagra by the sleeve in Mexico.
I want you to take it this week. If you want to keep this job, you need to take it this week.
For the entire morning?
I mean, don't come here and take it.
No,
just,
I should. No, Michaela, I want you to give me a pill.
You keep that thing away from me. Do not bring that little pill over here.
This just got real awkward
this
real
is
quick.
For...
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
All right, Michaela, we are talking about the blue pill and the side effects that could potentially come from taking Viagra in our last bit, and I feel like I'm like choking up right now. I'm so emotional about this.
I know.
I feel like I need to clarify that my boyfriend does not, in fact, have erectile dysfunction. He's texting me.
Yeah, because
me right
he's
now.
The one that texts you. He's yes. like, if you don't clear my name, I swear to God. But listen, I think I enjoy talking about it because I think that it's, you know, here on this station, we like to normalize everything and let things be a conversation. And I don't know how it works. As a lesbian, I want to like feel for it. Maybe I'll take it with you.
Mother,
I challenged you to take it.
My mother's listening right now in Ohio.
Oh,
with
Mama Kath.
Puppy on her lap and coffee in her hand, listening to us talk about the blue pill and erectile dysfunction.
Well, she probably wants to know how it works too. She may be your mother, but she's still a woman.
She must be. I'm sure she's very proud.
Yeah. Listen, I think sometimes we confuse the fact that our mothers are actually still women who are hot with bodies and sex drive and desires and
yes.
goals.
Yes. My mom is all of those things.
Yes, Mama Kath.
Can I embarrass her real quick?
Do it.
She dreads.
If she's not already mortified, yes, continue.
She dreads my stories. So I'm going to brag a little bit, but not really.
Okay.
When I was born, the doctor told my mom, you have a healthy baby boy, and by healthy, I mean healthy. He was referring to my nether regions. Okay. When my mom and I were, I was probably 18, 19 years old, we went to Dayton, Ohio to go shopping at the mall at Fairfield Commons. It was a big deal. And we did Christmas shopping, and then we went for lunch at like Chi-Chi's or somewhere, and she got a big margarita. Mm. I was her driver for the rest of the day. She had one big margarita, and she asked me, she referenced that day and asked me, honey, is that still true? I was like a full-grown man.
I would want to know as a mother. No! I'd be proud. I'd be like, that's my boy.
Snake in the world.
I'm so sorry. Maybe one more time?
Known as the heaviest snake in the world.
How did you have that audio just
pulled up? We've always got it pulled up, okay? We've got the audio when you need it. And if Mama Kath is listening.
Well, I'm going to get on my phone and fix things with my mom and my boyfriend right now while you hit us with news on the beat.
You've got to make up with everybody. All right, you guys. The 92nd Academy Awards marked a historic night for international cinema. The South Korean film Parasite dominated the evening and became the first non-English film to win the coveted Best Picture Award. The film, which is cleaned up on the Film Awards circuit this season, also won Oscar for Best Director, Best Screenplay, and Best International Feature. The Parasite winning streak further cements South Korea's cultural power in the West and had many movie buffs wondering if Hollywood may be ready to acknowledge and honor more international films. Of course, the night was not without its domestic political moments as well. Brad Pitt used his Best Supporting Actor speech, his first acting Oscar, by the way, to make an impeachment joke.
They told me I only have 45 seconds up here, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week.
And then Joaquin Phoenix called for equality and activism during his Best Actor speech. Now, what's so funny is we were just talking with our boss, Jeff, and although Brad Pitt, you know, made reference to the impeachment, it was good, but it wasn't, like, hard-hitting.
Well, sometimes I think that's actually more powerful, because he's not a huge activist. When, like, Joaquin Phoenix talks, it's so easy for the middle of the country or conservatives to be like, ah, he's another Hollywood elite. Like, he's a loony actor. Brad Pitt, though, is loved by everyone globally, and just even saying just that little bit, I think, has an impact. I hope it does.
Yeah, that's
or
a good
maybe
point.
Not. Who knows?
All right.
But I think he's so respected. He's like a dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, y'all, that wasn't fair. It wasn't cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right, you guys. Well, listen, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday, February 10th. Now, yesterday was Sir Bennett Bernal's 1 month birthday. So I'd just like to shout him out. Justin, our producer, had a baby 1 month ago. As of yesterday, his wife and Tim did, Lauren, his fiance.
He also just let us know that his baby has a healthy stream and sometimes pees so high that it hits the back of his neck.
And you know what? That's a whole nother conversation.
I can't wait to be a dad.
I can't wait to be a mother. All right, another news. Celebrating birthdays, Stephanie Beatriz, Detective Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and proud out bisexual, 39 years young. Elizabeth Banks celebrates her 46th birthday. Disney CEO Bob Iger is 69 years old. Roberta Flack celebrates her 83rd birthday.
Strumming my faith with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly.
Do you guys want to know a song? You want to know a very quick story?
Yeah.
I was singing on a lesbian cruise last year, and I sang this song. And while I was on the lesbian cruise singing for these women, they started screaming at me to change the pronouns. I said, killing me softly with his song. They said, killing me softly with her song. And I was like...
Or their song.
Yeah, no, they wanted me to change it. And then that's when I rolled off the stage and back into my room, never to come out again for the rest of the time on the cruise ship. Going to you. Give us a vibe of the day.
I'm glad you recovered. All right, so your true self is saying to you today, you are rising into your fullness and realizing what's possible for you when you express yourself freely. Be yourself, trust yourself, and listen to your heart. Believe.
Believe, I love that. All right, well, listen, the Oscars were last night, and we've got some of the best and worst moments, including Billie Eilish's shocking reaction when Eminem came out on stage. Stick around, we have it all for you coming up next.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
Big shocker if you haven't been paying attention to award season. Maybe a little bit less of a shocker for Hollywood insiders, but Parasite taking home Best Picture last night. The first Korean film to ever do so. It also won International Film, but then took Best Picture overall, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. You know, with people saying that the Oscars was not diverse enough, I will say my best friend is Korean, and it was a really big deal to him. When the movie came out, he was very excited. And then I know that he was so proud last night.
Yeah, the four major, like the acting categories, are still pretty white. However, the rest of the show was diverse as you could ever ask for.
I mean, they were trying. There was a few performances that I was like, you're really stretching it. But who opened the performance, Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter, I thought was incredible. We have a little audio. Let's take a listen.
It's time to come alive. Because the Oscar is so wide. It's time to come alive. Oh, now let's go out.
See, I'm still standing better than I ever been. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid.
You know, Michaela, like, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I love Janelle so much. I saw her in concert years ago before really anybody knew who she was. Billy Porter, I've interviewed him multiple times. He's an icon. I thought they did great. Their voices were great. I thought the opening number was a bit tone deaf. I thought it looked like, okay, the Academy's trying to say, listen, we know we still haven't fixed the problem, but we're going to give you a whole bunch of diversity. There were people dancing in Nazi uniforms. Dolomite.
No.
It was just, the costumes were odd. It was just strange to me.
Yeah, no. Please don't get me wrong. I don't think that this was any way to make it more diverse, because I feel the same way. Like, I genuinely feel the way that you feel about them, about Frozen.
Yeah.
With Idina Menzel coming out. Here's the thing. I have a niece. I'm an aunt. She's obsessed with Frozen. Everybody who knows a little girl is obsessed with Frozen. Now Into the Wood, the second Frozen 2.
Into the Unknown.
Into the Unknown, yes. Sorry, whatever.
Into the Woods
is
a Broadway musical.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I'm still thinking about the Viagra film.
Stephen Sondheim.
So I was excited to see Idina Menzel, and then they were like, we're going to bring out 9 other women speaking their native language. Let's take a listen, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Może chcesz być mi zdrową, żebym gdzieś zrobiła błąd. Drwa ni tego klajgan, lako tajgo szandaj di. Ken su interior, sabe que no es de aquí.
So it was nice because women from Germany, from Sweden, from Thailand, they were all singing their native language, but one thing you noticed on the stage, there was not one black queen up there. They were literally as white as snow.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the diverse language, but also, like, we could have done diverse looking as well.
We were talking about that a little bit, though. We looked through a whole list, and there were some Asian women up there singing, but we were looking through the list, and our producer, Justin, was looking this up online, and many African nations who actually cover animated films, they actually just use the English because they know English. And so it's an interesting
one. Double-edged sword, but it was...
There's got to be one.
Yeah, I thought there could have been
Zimbabwe,
one.
Zimbabwe? Like, somewhere.
She could have even gone up and sang it in English. Just sing it, you know.
For the woman in the background who is doing the high notes. She actually is the one from the soundtrack.
Oh,
and she
I
was in
her.
The audience sitting next to Greta Gerwig at one point randomly. She looked like an elf from Lord of the Rings. She was fantastic. The camera panned to her so many times.
Well, let's talk about the best part of the entire Oscars.
Uh-oh.
And that's going to go to Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig.
Yes.
And that's period, the end.
No argument here from at all.
No. Let's take a listen.
Guys. We're not mad.
Uh-oh.
That was an act.
Yeah. We were acting.
We just know there are a lot of directors here tonight, and
we just wanted them to know we do more than comedy.
Oh, that was my line.
Well, I guess it's mine now, son.
How would you know? You were always gone when I was a kid.
I feel like she's channeling Mommy Dearest there.
I know.
Look, Hollywood's a tough city. Yeah, always got to let people know. You got to remind people, reintroduce, like, I'm available for work.
Absolutely. And no matter what first impression they have, you know, you always want a second chance to make an impression. And Joaquin Phoenix actually spoke about that when he went to accept his award. I want you to take a listen to what he has to say and remind you that coming up at this time the next hour, Justin Martindale will be joining us to talk about Oscar fashion, the do's and don'ts. Here's Joaquin Phoenix accepting his award.
I've been a scoundrel in my life. I've been selfish. I've been cruel at times, hard to work with, and ungrateful. But so many of you in this room have given me a second chance. And I think that's when we're at our best, when we support each other, not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other towards redemption. That is the best of humanity.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
All right, Michaela, we're talking a lot of Mela. I'm going to call you Mela from now on.
Yeah, no, I like it. I need a new nickname.
We're talking Oscars. We've got a lot going on today. We've got Justin Martindale coming in later to talk about Oscars fashion, which I'm so looking forward to. But it's impossible to live in this world, in this country, right now, in this moment, and not talk politics a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
You mentioned earlier that Pete Buttigieg edged out Bernie Sanders in the Iowa caucus.
Yeah,
he's actually got more delegates.
Yeah, it was very, very, very close, but apparently... You know, he's reported that he won the Iowa caucus.
14 delegates to Bernie Sanders, 12.
Yep.
Another guy's thrown his name in the ring recently, former New York mayor, Democratic presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg. He's in some hot water right now, drawing criticism for remarks he made back in 2016 about trans rights in the Midwest. Let's take a listen, then we'll discuss.
If you want to know, is somebody a good salesman, give him the job of going to the Midwest and picking a town and selling to that town the concept that some man wearing a dress should be in the locker room with their daughter. If you can sell that, you can sell anything. I mean, they just look at you and they say, what on earth are you talking about? And you say, well, this person identifies his or her gender as different than what's on their birth certificate. And they say, what do you mean? You're either born this or you're born that. And, you know, I will say, in our prison system in New York City, we have to have the policy. When you walk in, you know, drop your trousers, you go this way, you go that way. That's it, because you can't sit there and you can't mix things in a jail. That's a practical case of where you have to make a decision. But it's so many things that we are nuanced.
Could have been a little more nuanced himself, I believe. He was giving this talk at an event at the University of Oxford in England back in 2016. Brings up a difficult discussion, one that we're not completely qualified to have as to a cis man, this cis woman. However, he referenced trans women and said they're simply seen as men in dresses in the Midwest.
Well, here's my question, and I want to make this very clear, because it appears in that soundbite that he agrees that men and women should be separated, and that's based off the genitals that you have, and not because when he refers to the prison, like that's when you have to make a decision and that's how we have to do it. However, was he saying man in a dress in regards to how the Midwest speaks, or from his personal opinion of how he sees trans people?
I believe that's not what he actually believes, and that he's trying to make the case that this is not this situation, because he then goes on to refer to these women as her. He uses the proper pronouns immediately after. I think he was trying to express what I didn't like is the laughter in the room. That was offensive to me, that they're laughing at this serious, serious issue. This was only 4 years ago. As somebody from the Midwest, I know that this seems like a brand new thing to many people in many parts of the country.
Yeah, what do they think in the Midwest when it comes to trans people?
I think many people do view trans women as a dude wearing a dress. I think it's that basic for them, and there's not a lot of heart that's good. There's not a lot of representation, first and foremost. We talk about this all the time. We saw it in the Oscars last night. Representation, that word came up over and over and over again. And I think it's super important that that stories like what we're being told on Pose, like those become more common, that it's not just that the trans community isn't looked at as like these outliers, but they're looked at as human beings.
Well, I think the question here is, do we cancel Mike Bloomberg? Because Democrats are saying, and people of the community are saying, yes, he should be canceled. He shouldn't have said it like that, and we cannot forgive him. However, speaking of Oscars, if we go back to Joaquin Phoenix's speech where he says, we have to be open to giving people a second chance. We have to be willing to educate people and allowing them to learn from their mistakes. You could use that argument and say, let Mike Bloomberg, having now standing in 2020, protecting the LGBTQ community, which he is, we could say that we could move forward with Mike Bloomberg. I feel hesitant having these conversations because I'm really tired of talking about things that don't directly affect me. Like, I'm not a trans woman or a trans man. I don't know the struggles. I don't know what it feels like to not be able to use a restroom or to go into a prison system and have to go at a place where I could be threatened
and,
my life.
And oftentimes I think people outside of the community expect us to have all the answers for every letter in our community. You know, I am a gay man, but that does not mean I can speak for the L or the B or the T or the K. I can't speak for every letter.
Yeah.
And nor should I try. I also want to learn. I want to learn so that I can have conversations. I also want to be able to give other people a voice to share their stories.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is tomorrow we'll continue this conversation with somebody from our trans community to talk about cancel culture, if this is a forgivable, quote unquote, offense. But also it is important that we have this conversation with an open mind and understand that not everybody is going to see it this way. People in the Midwest may very much still feel like it doesn't make sense
and
to
them.
I'm
curious to know, like, what's more important? Is it most important that we cancel immediately and move on? Or is the message that I think he's trying to get across, that he is supportive of trans rights, does that supersede this in a moment like this where we've got, you know, Donald Trump sitting in the White House?
Yeah.
I'm curious. I want to learn.
All right. Well, listen, coming up in What's Poppin', this film misfires with $33.7 million debut, and it is the worst opening in a decade.
It was a bomb.
Find out what this movie is and What's Poppin' coming up next.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us here on The Morning Beat. AJ Gibson here with Michaela Gordon. And I know you got some pop culture news for us in just a moment. Can I give a quick shout out, though? A couple quick ones. We've been talking about the Oscars all morning, and you know, Oscars So White was a hashtag that's been trending over the years. But there are some areas where they need to do some work still, especially in the acting categories. But by and large, the Oscars was pretty diverse last night. I think there's a couple things worth mentioning. One, Shia LaBeouf, his co-presenter last night at the Oscars, his friend Zach Gottsagen, he was his co-star in The Peanut Butter Falcon, made history as the first person with Down syndrome to ever present an award at the Oscars, which I think is definitely worth mentioning. That
Absolutely.
Is really a great step forward. Also, Barack and Michelle Obama's Netflix documentary, American Factory, from their production company, Higher Ground, it was the first documentary they've produced with their new production company, won the Oscar last night. And it was a great representation of what you can do when you bring different cultures together and showcase that. It actually takes place in Dayton, Ohio, in a factory, a GM factory that was shut down, became a glass factory, and it shows Chinese billionaires who came in and bought the factory, and it shows the sort of the crossroads that happens when East Asian culture meets Ohio in the Midwest, and what can happen, what can come out of that, which was very beautiful. So I think that was worth mentioning. Shout out to the Buckeyes, my home state of Ohio as well.
The Oscars was really great. Now, I feel like one thing that we can mention, since it is What's Popping, and I'm going to tell you the story. People are saying, why was Eminem on stage? Why do people have a problem with it? Why don't they? And I just read this, and it's kind of a decent point. Kevin Hart was not allowed to host the Oscars because of homophobic rhetoric. Now, if you go back and read Eminem lyrics,
not that far,
they're not only sort of homophobic, but they're also kind of abusive towards women. So people were not thrilled. It's been a very hit or miss.
Double standard, perhaps.
Yeah, a little bit.
But there's a lot more popping in the world right now.
Yeah, there is. All right, you guys. So Birds of Prey, a lot of people were so excited to see. I mean, I've never seen so many Harley Quinns on Halloween in my life.
That wasn't really popping, though, was it?
It was not popping because it was the worst opening in a decade. It misfired with $33.7 million debut. And people are really surprised. I'm surprised, too. I didn't think it was going to be that bad from 4,236 screens.
For the life of DC, they cannot get their act together.
Yeah. Do you think DC is still as big as it used to be?
No.
I don't either.
Growing up, DC was everything. Now it's Marvel, Marvel, Marvel.
I agree. Well, listen, that's What's Popping. If you don't want to check out that movie, You won't be the first, because a lot of people are not feeling it. All right, coming up in our next hour, we're talking Oscars and the fashion. We've got Justin Martindale from E's What the Fashion joining us to talk about the styles. And I've got quite the opinions about the Oscars red carpet, because I feel like people really shut up at the Vanity Fair party. Find out what we're talking about coming up next.
All right, welcome to the 8 o'clock hour here on the West Coast, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Thanks for tuning in to the Morning Beat. I wish I feel like one day we should just, our producer, Justin, should just leave the mics up the entire 4 hours. The entire 4 hours, so y'all could hear the things that Michaela talks about during our commercial breaks. She's sitting over here. She's been vegan for 24 hours. We just walked up. We have a little cafeteria upstairs, and there's some snacks up there, and she's going through, like, picking out things. Is this vegan? Is this vegan? I'm like, no, that block of cheese is not vegan. Okay, you can't have a block of cheese for breakfast.
Well, okay, just so you guys know, I tried to go vegan 2 years ago because my whole 30th birthday, I made everybody eat vegan.
Why'd you do
and
that?
They hated me because I was vegan at the time.
Oh, got it.
So I really wanted to be vegan. I wanted to save the animals. And then I was like the fattest vegan I ever met. I gained weight. Like, it was terrible. So then I quit. I was like, I'm not doing that anymore.
It can be super unhealthy if you don't do it right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I just started working out with a new trainer. I'm trying to get Dinah ready for April. So he said, Michaela, I'm going to recommend to you that you change your diet to 90% vegan. And I was like, for what? And he was like, I would like to recommend that. And I think you should do a very plant-based diet. So I'm trying to do it again. But it's hard. Being a vegan is difficult. And finding options that you can eat and filling. I was so hangry yesterday. I was such a biatch because I could not find anything that I could eat.
Well, I have your lunch. I have your lunch covered. I thought it'd be sweet and bring her in this vegan stew that I make sometimes. It's like a weight loss detox cabbage stew. You've probably heard of it. It's very popular. But she tried to make it last week. I also make it. She said hers wasn't that good, so she's going to try mine. And then she says, listen, if there's money involved, can I pay you to start making me this? I'm like, I'm not your personal chef.
Come on.
Like, I'm going to call you out. This is ridiculous.
Come on, it's fun. Mama Kath?
It's not that fun for me.
Mama Kath, can you make it and send it to me?
Get an Instant Pot, throw some vegetables in there, call it a day.
Ugh,
you'll
God.
Be so healthy,
so snatched.
Do you know
one time somebody got me an Instant Pot? My ex's family got me an Instant Pot for Christmas. And I was like, I don't actually want to know how to take this.
Did you return it?
Yes.
I knew you did.
Yes.
Why? They're so
I
great.
I was offended.
Because they want you to eat food?
I don't want cooking things for Christmas. I want fun things.
Girl, my boyfriend got an air fryer. He does segments on The Real on Fox, and he gets all the products that he gets to promote on the show. He gets them to test them out. He got an air fryer, and he made me this weekend. He made me wings. He made me curly fries. He made me potato skins. And I had to stop him. After like the third time, I was like, listen, it's cute. There's not oil and grease. I get it. But this stuff is still not healthy for us. We're still eating potatoes like by the sack.
That's the kind of vegan I am. I'm like, can't have me, but I can have french fries.
Anyways, as we try to help, I think we should get somebody in here at some point to help you with your veganism.
Please, I would love that. And if you're a vegan, DM me at McKayla. Kayla Gordon. I need all the help I can get to make
she
it right this time.
She needs help.
Mentally, physically, emotionally.
Vegan tips for you. I want you to hit us with some news on the beat.
All right, you guys. Well, the New Hampshire primaries are just a day away, and Democratic candidates are still trying to sort through the remainders of last week's Iowa caucus mess. Now, Pete Buttigieg barely edged out Bernie Sanders in Iowa, but CNN's latest poll numbers show Sanders is favored for a New Hampshire victory. Meanwhile, Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez says he has no intention of stepping down after the Iowa debacle, but conceded that there will probably be a review of whether Iowa should continue to be the first stop in the Democratic nominating process. Iowa also presented another problem for Democrats. Turnout was way lower than expected, about 25% less than what Barack Obama won in 2008. And do you know why? Because it's a dated thing to do.
It's
and
absurd.
Nobody has time when
caucuses.
You have to go to work.
Yeah, in 2020, nobody has time to go caucus for hours and hours in a gymnasium in their hometown.
No, they don't. Absurd. Absolutely not.
But Democrats have been raising a lot of money. Their fundraising numbers are really, really up. So that is a good sign.
That's a good sign. But these caucuses need to go.
They gotta go.
All right, in other news, new coronavirus nightmare is unfolding on a Diamond Princess cruise in Japan. 135 people confirmed to have contracted the virus. 3,700 people on board under strict quarantine.
Can you imagine?
No! And then 910 people have died worldwide, with 40,000 being sick with the coronavirus. So It's still not too close to home, but we'll continue keeping you updated. Just be sure to take care of yourselves.
Can you imagine being stuck on a cruise line and they're telling you, yeah, people on here have coronavirus, so we're going to start quarantining. You're stuck. I'd jump off. I would start swimming to shore.
Yeah, bye. Gotta go.
I'm a good swimmer.
Call me a triathlete. I'm out of here. okay, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. Emma Roberts, 29 years young. Actress Yara Shahidi from Blackish turns 20. And Chloe Grace Moretz is 23 years old. Now let's get some vibes going. What's your vibe of the day?
All right, take this with you today to all of our listeners. Your true self is saying to you today, you are rising into your fullness and realizing what's possible for you when you express yourself freely. Be yourself, trust yourself, and listen to your heart. Believe.
Listen to your heart.
Make it into a song.
When it's coming for you.
Oh.
Listen to your heart.
You should make my vibes of the day into songs every day.
Oh my God, don't.
I'm kidding.
Do you want to do that? Because
no.
I will.
Stop
I can
her.
Think a song of I can think of a
Cut
song
her
of
off.
Anything. Give me a word I can think of a song.
Go away.
Rain,
Bye.
Go away.
Stop.
Bye.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q. Ooh.
There
Welcome
she is.
Back to the new Channel Q. Now listen, we were talking Oscars this morning. I feel like people keep trying to say there was so much diversity at the Oscars. And I'm going to say I could not disagree more. I think they tried. I think here's what it felt like.
They tried.
I think they knew they were under fire. Because let Frozen be an example. Into the Unknown, Idina Menzel came out singing. And then there were like 9 other women that came out, but kind of all looked the same as well.
The whole bunch of white ladies. Uh-huh. There was a woman from Thailand. There was a woman from Japan, I believe.
Yeah, there was. But it was a little lacking in the diverse. However, the fashion was the most important to me, and I feel like the best person to break down Oscars fashion and after parties is our friend Justin Martindale. You're on the line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. If I hear that one more time, yeah.
You were singing Frozen 2 for us, weren't you? That was good.
I know. Well, because that little ocean river nymph lady is like stuck in the back of my head now.
Was I the only one? Did you see her all night long? They panned
all
her in the
long.
Audience so many times.
Yes, this enchanted wood nymph. I'm like obsessed with her.
My boyfriend and I were on the couch looking at memes of her and gifs of her that were being created as the show was going. It was hilarious.
Okay, so
yeah,
Justin.
It was like if Sia and Bjork had a baby.
Yeah,
you know?
I referenced Bjork last night. That's so good. I like the Sia.
Okay, so tell us who you loved and who you hated last night.
Oh, Michaela, what a night. honestly, I thought the whole concept of sustainable clothing was kind of a cool idea. If you notice, Jane Fonda at the very end, before she gave out the award for Parasite, she was wearing a dress from 6 years ago from an awards show. So she was like rocking it, like, I can still wear this. Some of the looks that I loved, I mean, I loved Janelle Monáe in that like weird Joan of Arc. Like,
oh, yeah, I thought it was incredible.
Like space
Whitney
out.
Houston, Queen of the Night.
Yes.
Moment.
Yeah, because here's why. Speaking of women, she was very empowering, but so was Natalie Portman because she wore on her gown, she wore this cape. Okay, so that's a no for you?
I mean, it's like I see what you're doing, but like why? You know, I get it. You're like, I'm making a statement. These are all the women that weren't nominated, but like, move on, girls.
Okay.
Don't hold a grudge. You know
See,
what I mean?
I disagree completely. Look at us talking about now the women who were not nominated. It's a good conversation starter and pays tribute to the women who should have been nominated.
I know, but it's like, shouldn't we all have been nominated? Like, that's where I'm
standing.
I certainly
deserve the nomination.
What was that, AJ?
I certainly deserve the nomination. I didn't even do anything this year, and I'd like a nomination, so I'm just going to be real honest about that.
I feel like it's such a millennial thing, I agree more women should have been nominated, but it's like no one just gets a trophy, you know. Oh, you did a movie, you're nominated. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Well, Justin, somebody that I think we can all agree, she's an icon, she's a comic legend already, Kristen Wiig. Her bit with Maya Rudolph was really funny, but what did you think about her dress?
Okay, Maya Rudolph was giving me full on Ghostbusters Sigourney Weaver, like, there is no Dana, only Zool realness. And then Kristen Wiig was in this like fun little like Valentine's Day sea slug number, which I kind of love.
Not sea
but
slug.
But it was cute. But I thought the banter between them just really made it. I was like, okay, next year these two have to host.
Right. You know what? If anything, if they've proven anything, that should have been their audition to host the Oscars. I would have been so much more entertained. Okay, now I have a question. Billy Porter.
Let's go.
Okay. Billy Porter has made a lot of statements on the red carpet. Last night, he came out with like this huge gold gown number. I hated it.
You know what? I'm so glad. And I'm agreeing with you because I thought last year he did that custom tuxedo
the
dress.
The Christian Siriano? Iconic.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And then this year was just kind of this weird, like, he's like, I'm wearing 24 karat gold feathers and
gold eyeglasses.
Yeah, it was just very, like, I saw it, and all I kept thinking was the beginning of The Lion King when the sun comes up, and you just hear the, nah, it's a wake me up. Like, that's all I kept thinking. And I just kind of thought it was an overkill. I was kind of like, oh, you went from this to this?
Yeah, it is interesting, because Billy Porter somehow, and, like, if you haven't been paying attention, Billy Porter seems like a brand new star. He's been a celebrity on Broadway for decades. But he hasn't really had a whole lot of misses. And then all of a sudden yesterday he came out, and his after party look was kind of like whatever too. I was not impressed.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it's not enough like of a statement
anymore.
Oh,
you didn't like the after party?
No, I didn't either with the purple hat and the purple gloves.
Yeah.
Was he going to church?
What I wish he would have done is what he wore in Janelle Monáe's opening. That was sick. I love that.
That was cute.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. Okay, so if you're just tuning in, we're with Justin Martindale discussing fashion from the Oscars. Another one I was really unimpressed with, because I'm really over it, is Billie Eilish.
Oh, I knew you. I was just going to go there.
You were? Okay.
What did you think about her Chanel suit?
Here's the thing. She's, what, 16 years old?
Just turned 18.
Oscars. To me, she just looks like a... I don't know. It was like this rescued koala bear. It was just like woolly. And then I think she just kept focusing. She wanted everyone to focus on her weirdly long kangaroo nails.
Yeah. She seemed disinterested to me.
She doesn't know anything.
But that's what I'm saying. You know what's interesting? I thought it was weird that they even asked her to sing yesterday. She is 18 years old. I get that they want to bring in like pop culture and make it cool, but like she's too young. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yesterday she was born. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and I didn't understand what she was saying. And then when going back to the Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig, when they were doing their number, they had that shot and they cut to her and she was making this like stink face. And I was like,
oh, I know. Like she was so confused.
Ma'am.
Justin, can I ask you your thoughts on Brie Larson with the fitted gown with the cape?
Which part? Her weird toe?
Oh, no. You always find
the weird toe?
You find the weird always, don't you?
Do.
The pinky toe sticking out?
Oh, yes. It's like a full-on, just like lost Funyun in a cow.
Okay, but like, give me like Funyun. Ankles up. What did you think about her look from the ankles up?
She looked stunning. I thought it was actually one of my favorite looks of the night.
Good.
But then people were like, look at her toes. And I was like, no. But I thought it was just draped appropriately. It was, you know, it was just nice. It kind of pissed me off because everybody on the E! Red carpet kept saying it was just champagne colored. I'm like, first of all, it's a sparkling rosé.
Yeah, sparkling, clearly.
Obviously, and, from Vanderpump Rules, from Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant.
Meanwhile, did you see the cast of Vanderpump Rules? Were they going to prom?
What was that look? Also, Katie, her outfit was terrible with that bow in her hair. I hated it. All right, let's talk about the last person on our list, Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, you know what? I thought she had one of the best moments of the night. I love that song. I had no idea she even wrote that song, and I thought it was one of the best highlights of the night. The outfit, however, I was kind of like, okay. It was a little avant-garde, it was a little daring, I will say. I thought that was good. It wasn't, I'm not saying it was like too risque or anything, but it was just very... I thought she did well.
I thought she looked beautiful.
Further.
The red carpet outfit to me was stunning. She had a white gown on. And just so you guys know, you can check out all of these outfits that we are talking about. Head on over to WeirdChannelQ.com. All of these looks will be on our website. I thought she looked so elegant, so classy. Yeah.
She carried herself well, especially after being called Cynthia Erivo by Steve Martin in the opening. She,
oh, my God.
And being the only person of color nominated for any of the awards
all
night long. But
I love how... called that out right at the beginning.
Totally. She is an icon, and you are a pro. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Justin,
we appreciate your thoughts, your expertise.
Oh, yes, guys.
All right, we'll talk to
so
you soon.
Parasite won.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I'm so happy, too. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, Justin Martindale. Love you.
You guys love you.
Take care, buddy.
Bye. All right, you guys, well, coming up in What's Poppin', Dr. Luke scores a big victory and an ongoing battle with this pop star. Find out who and What's Poppin' coming up.
The Morning Beat
with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
I know that music. I know it anywhere. Michaela.
Star Trek.
There. Oh, wow.
I'm kidding.
So close.
Disneyland.
Yep, there it is. Disneyland. You've probably heard of the Disneyland. That's possible. You know, something I've learned about you just working with you this short amount of time, you have a way with words.
Oh, go on.
And sort of remembering things just in a particular way, like the way you sort of want to remember them.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm guilty of this as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny because actually, speaking of words, I do. I'm the queen of like using the wrong words for the wrong thing or meaning one thing and saying another. Even yesterday, there was a miscommunication over text because I continued using this word.
Oh, yeah. You and
I. That did not make sense. Uh-huh. To you, and in my head, I knew what I was trying to say, but it
but to
wasn't
me, I was
making...
like, oh, huh?
You're like, what?
Yeah. Well, I've been known over the years of remembering things a certain way and telling them a certain way, and I think that I do it because I oftentimes want stories to flow better and come out more exciting. And my mom's always like, you're not telling the truth. I'm like, I'm not lying. I'm just telling things in a more interesting way so that we don't all get bored and fall asleep midway through a story.
Yeah.
It's kind of how our brain works, which is really interesting. And this ties into the Oscars. They were just yesterday. So we thought it'd be fun to take a trip down memory lane and look at some of the quotes that we all know and love that actually were never said in the films to begin with.
Well, there's how it started, because I thought it was, you love me. You really love
yeah.
me. And that's actually not what Sally Field said.
Never
she said
it.
Right now, you like me. We've got some audio. Let's take a listen to what it actually is. Mm-hmm.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
So, an iconic moment. And that day, our boss had walked into the studio while we were on air. And he's like, actually, no. He corrected her after she said that. And he said, no, it's you love me. You really love me. And we're like, actually, it's not. And it got us thinking, like, what other quotes have we just misquoted all these years?
It's kind of like the Mandela effect. You swear that's what you heard, but going back, it's not what it is.
That was so scientific and smart of you right there. That was cute. The Mandela effect.
Stop.
I want to look that up.
Hold me. Okay. So we found some films. Apollo 13. Houston, we have a problem. Not what they say. Let's take a listen.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, I was right.
No. Houston, they say we've had a problem, not we have a problem. That's a very slight one. That's not a really crazy one. I think my favorite probably is from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
So people think that Hannibal Lecter said, hello, Clarice, when he actually said,
good evening, Clarice.
Much more kind.
Yeah.
Much more, but interestingly enough.
I like hello, Clarice.
It's exactly. And I
prefer it.
I think our brains just automatically remembered it that way. And because of that, they actually used this line in the sequel and said, hello, Clarice, and Hannibal.
I got it.
Hello, Clarice.
A little nod to everybody who thought they heard it one way for so many years and actually never did.
Okay, so here's a big one, too. Star Wars. Luke. I am your father.
Obviously, that's what he said, right?
Also, how many times did I say that in my fan growing up?
Uh-huh.
So that it sounded like Darth Vader. I was like, Luke, I am your father. Okay, me? I'm the only one? Got it. Great. Let's take a listen.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
He never actually said
Luke.
He
never said
Luke. Father.
He said, no, I am your father.
It's funny how it's interesting how our brains like consolidate these things and make them more simple for us to remember.
Yeah.
Another iconic film. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, joy.
Little low budget indie film that was made a few years back. So oftentimes, I've said this a million times, Toto. I've said this a million times. Like, I just say it casually.
Hey, just
Toto,
around.
We're not in Kansas anymore. That is the quote that's so famously attributed to that film. Never actually said.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I have a feeling.
I have a feeling.
It's
such an outdated way of speaking. I feel like people just switched it to, you know, like simplified it again.
Okay, well, here's one of my favorites, and I have said this many times. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. First of all, I've been saying Mr. DeVille I was 2 years old when I realized it was Mr. DeMille, so I'm already wrong. But this is a quote from Sunset Boulevard. The misquote is, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille, the actual quote.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah, I switched it up.
I like the.
You like my version.
I do like your version. I also like the menacing music in the background.
Yeah, and I also prefer DeVille.
Well, who's that, though? That's my big question.
Mr. You know who it is. He's the director guiding us, walking us through it.
Fair enough. How about Dirty Harry? Listen, we know, do you feel lucky, punk? That's what people say. I've heard my dad used to say that when I was a little kid. But here's the actual quote.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Do you feel lucky?
I feel kind of lucky.
Do you feel lucky enough to find out what big battle Dr. Luke has won coming up and what's popping? Do you, punk?
Wow.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It's Michaela Gordon here with AJ Gibson. And I have to say, I've had a lot of really cool opportunities in my life. I remember years ago, I was really young. I went to see the LA Philharmonic. I thought it was so incredible. One of the most beautiful experiences. I remember feeling very, like, stuffy and very, like, I was like, oh, this is very serious.
Very prim and very proper.
Yeah,
well,
they've
been around for 100 years.
Yeah, 100.
They celebrated their 100th
exactly
anniversary
100.
Last year.
Yeah. And so I remember seeing that and wanting to, like, manifest, but I was like, I don't know if I'll ever get the chance. This is too fancy for me. And so earlier, at the end of last year, some of my favorite people that I've worked with have had the opportunity to work with the LA Philharmonic on a new show that is benefiting really people in our community, people of color, empowering
and this is
women.
This is a bit of a turn for the Philharmonic here in LA,
because
right?
Because you do think prim and proper, but they're doing a new direction. And so I'd like to invite Benny and Jack Lipson to the show. You guys are a part of, say the name of the show because it's German. It's in German.
Yeah. It's in German, yes. It's Musik Fantasy Revolution. And it means just what it sounds like. Music Fantasy Revolution.
Yeah, because this particular time is a revolution. We're really coming into a new place, I think, in the world, but particularly within the queer community. And so this show is really special because for people that don't know what this particular show is about, please tell our listeners.
Okay, well, so we're highlighting in this show 100 years ago in 1920s Berlin, the Weimar era, which is a specific era where there was a huge sex positive, queer positive boom in Berlin between losing World War I and then the rise of the Nazi Germany and the Nazi Party in 1933. And so, yeah, within that, there are so many wonderful queer performers and this boom of cabaret. And so the LA Phil asked Jack and I to recreate this experience and specifically said, please, we want to highlight queer performers and those of color in the community. So, of course, when we were talking about who should we have, we asked you, Michaela, and we're so happy that you're a part of it.
As you should have. She's been very proud, and she's been talking about this a lot in the last couple weeks, especially while she's going to rehearsal every day afterwards. Talk to me a little bit about the power of music. And a lot of these songs I hear that were written 100 plus years ago.
Tell them about the Lavender song, because the song was written, I'm sorry, even Chuck Out the Men. Those songs were written 100 years ago, but lyrically, they are now more relevant than ever.
Yeah, what Michaela's talking about, the Lavender song, according to queer historians and queer like musicologists, was the first gay anthem, the first queer LGBTQ anthem.
Before Born This Way, and in fact,
I mean, even amid this sort of flourishing progressivism in this short 15 years in Germany, the writers of the song still, you know, we were trying to track down the music, but the writers of the song still felt like they needed to use pen names and pseudonyms in order to disguise that they were writing this. Very, very bold, you know, we're not afraid to be queer and different. That's the translation in English.
Yeah, and it's incredible. Now, I will say also that this is something I've didn't know. You know, the LA Philharmonic is kind of getting away from Disney as well, which is what they do. Is that what we were saying? They are very close to Disney, but they're branching off. They're doing a whole festival called Power of the People, which you can see many shows throughout this year. If you're unable to make tomorrow night's show, you have another show coming up at the end of the month as well.
Yeah, certainly. Jack and I are performing our original music, and we write socially topical and queer positive music as well. And that's February 29th at the Luckman Fine Arts Complex on the campus of Cal State LA at 8 p.m. That's all on jackbennynow.com if you want to find out about that and more about this music fantasy revolution. But talking about the LA Phil, they're bringing a lot of concerts outside of Disney Hall. And in doing so, you're talking about you walked in there and there's sort of a stuffy, older, white energy in Disney Hall. By bringing some of the performances outside, like this one tomorrow night at Black Rabbit Rose, we're sort of inviting different types of people a foot into the door, and then maybe they want to check out the classical programming at Disney Hall.
And before we let you go, like, what, as an organization, what are you guys hoping to accomplish with the series?
So with this, we're a part of this Weimar Festival, and so there's a host of different events happening throughout the next couple of weeks through the LA Phil, and we're really trying to show that, you know, just because this is 100 years old, it couldn't resonate more loudly and vociferously than it does today. And we're comparing the similar era, the rise of fascism in Germany 100 years ago, to, you know, what we are experiencing now in the United States, and that there's still amid it a drive and a resistance from those who the government doesn't represent.
Yeah. Well, 1920s is very similar to 2020s, and you show that in this show. Now, for more information, you can head to jackbennynow.com, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Again, congratulations on this, and way to go to the LA Philharmonic 100 years later. We're still talking about the same thing, but we can do it openly as queer people, people of color, and women getting empowered. So thank you, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
stick around.
Yeah.
We have more for you, because speaking of the queer community, Saturday Night Live was very gay this weekend and RuPaul really took over. Find out how and what people think. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
You know what? There are few theme songs in the world that make me feel quite like this one.
Yes.
Saturday Night Live. Big one this weekend. We talk about diversity and inclusion and everything going on with, you know, television. Last week we had our friend from Glad here. Then we had the Oscars last night. Actually turned out to be quite diverse. Saturday Night Live, no exception.
No, let me tell you something. I'm going to just say it. I think a lot of people did not know what to expect having RuPaul go on Saturday Night Live. Would he be in drag? Would he not be in drag? Would he be himself? Would he be funny? Would the humor be watered down? Would Middle America have a meltdown? I mean, there were so many things that you could think about. And I will say, I went right to my computer Saturday night, and Lisa and I sat there and we watched the whole entire thing.
Wait, you don't have a TV?
No, we don't. Well, we do. We have a TV in our room, but I like to...
I'm so confused.
I know. Well, we have a TV, but I like to travel. If you know something about me, while I do chores, I use my computer.
Oh, you would exhaust me.
Oh, I'm exhausting. I exhaust myself. And so...
I like to do nothing while I sit on the couch and I don't move.
Oh, no, I'm busy. Mm. So we start watching it, and one of the first skits that shows up is... You know, doing drag race, having drag queens reading to kids in libraries is a big deal right now.
Yes.
We talk a lot about it. So RuPaul walks into a library. There's a bunch of kids there. And he prepares to start reading.
Mm-hmm. Reading.
Reading. Mm-hmm. And take a listen how that
Now, I'll show you how to read. Then you try. What's your name?
Her name is Caitlin.
Can she read?
She's starting to, yeah.
Oh, Caitlin, sweetie, I bet you have plenty of washed up basic little friends that you cannot wait to read the film. Am I right?
Who doesn't have a washed up basic friend?
Who doesn't?
This is
so
funny.
Already you're laughing because you're like, oh my God, he's not reading to them. He's reading them, which also explains what that means for people who don't understand.
1,000%, because if you're not in the community or a close ally, or if you don't watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta, you might not know what reading is.
Yeah. So he goes on. It's very funny. He picks up a couple of children's books and he has his own opinions.
Reading is what? Fundamental. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry when you put it like that. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Harriet the Spy. Girl, bye. Next.
And he goes on to see the hungry caterpillar. He says that her body is shaped like a BMW, and why does her red face not match her green body? The foundation isn't right. It was really funny.
Too much.
And so then
a good lesson for the kids, though. Very helpful.
Very helpful. To help them important. In life. All right. So then there was another skit where he's looking for the best drag queen, and that just happens to be Chad. Chad played by Pete Davidson. So listen to this.
Drag needs someone new. Someone like that. Who are you? Chad. Take five. Leave me with the future of drag.
I love it. It's just so over the top. RuPaul goes on to teach Chad how to tuck properly.
Yeah.
Tuck backwards, not forwards.
Yeah, that could be painful.
I love, love, love this skit. And Pete Davidson, I mean, having a great comeback after his breakup with Ariana Grande.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
in the headlines. He's had some
Kate
issues.
Kate Beckinsale.
Yes. He's dated some
good ones. Gerber.
Now he's pairing up with RuPaul, and it's just comic gold,
yeah.
I think.
Well, the way that they end it is probably the most iconic, because if you're are gay, you are absolutely familiar with Designing Women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line that has probably been quoted since it came out years ago and will continue to be, but the story goes that they're at dinner with a coworker and the other coworkers are being mean to this one girl. So they go to Defender RuPaul and his sidekick, and here's how they say it.
And Candace, just so you know, and so your children will know, tonight is the night. The lights went out in Georgia.
I mean, he says it perfectly. Candace, so you know, tonight is the night. The lights went out.
It makes me smile. It makes me sad. You want to know why?
Why?
They don't make TV like Designing Women anymore.
Oh, that's
it's
true.
So good.
Golden Girls,
all
Designing
those,
Women.
Yes.
But you know what's funny? Just because it's because we're talking about it. Golden Girls, the women were like 50 years old when filming.
Yes. Somebody posted
J-Lo at the Super Bowl.
They posted a photo. Somebody posted side-by-side photos of Blanche from Golden Girls and J-Lo at the Super Bowl, and they're the same age.
The truth, they don't make shows like that. They don't make women like that. So we're all just, yeah,
aww.
That's right.
Can you
Thank
start
you
wearing? Can you
friend.
Wear? Can you start wearing shoulder pads at least once a month for me?
AJ.
Just once a month.
AJ.
Yes.
I have shoulder pads on right now.
No, you don't.
I do.
Girl's a track jacket.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
We've worked our way through this Monday morning, Michaela.
I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us, too.
We did a great show.
And we had a lot to cover. We had the Oscars. We had Parasites.
Anybody following us has a lot to live up to.
Yeah, they sure do. I don't know if they can even follow this.
We've set the bar so high.
I can't even reach it.
God, you guys are amazing.
I'm sorry.
We should just shut down radio.
Oh, my God. This is awkward. You guys dropped the subject. Just joining us right now.
Hey.
Allie and James. Hey. Sorry about that. That was weird.
We were going to go into 4 hours on how to spay and neuter your pets.
You should cut it down to three.
With Sarah McLachlan in the background the entire time.
Honestly, that's kind of important information.
My little sister used to legit cry every time that commercial came on. She cares about pets or animals way more than humans.
I still cry every time that commercial
came
on.
Let me tell you something. I follow, for God knows why, so many dog Instagrams and like adoption agencies.
Ew,
every day
those.
I'm like ready to adopt a new dog. One didn't have an eye yesterday and I was like, Lisa, he needs
us.
Yeah,
but they sneak in those ones. They sneak
yeah,
in
they
like,
do.
They're like,
no, they
anyway, here's like a cute dog like playing in its water bowl, and then bam, dog with no eyes. And you're like,
oh my God, do you guys hear this? That's how great our producer is.
What?
Just listen. Wow. Yeah, I'm so.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
I'm gonna cry now, Justin. Wow.
My singing, is it a dog?
I was going to say, you guys sound so good.
We just had Jack and Benny from the LA Philharmonic in here a bit ago, and they were asking if I wanted to audition. I said no. You guys, if he asks you the same question, please also say no.
You guys should say yes.
I thought you were going to say we should audition.
Yeah,
he's like really into it. He's like, this is
good luck singing next to Michaela. She's like the voice of an angel.
Well,
you know, everyone has their niche, and Sarah McLachlan's niche just happens to be dogs in cages. Never knew it.
What is your niche? What are you guys talking about today?
Well, of course, we're going to talk about the Oscars as well, and
copycat
and our new.
We did it first.
I don't know if anyone else has talked about them yet.
Get original.
I don't know. This is off the cuff because the spay and neuter thing went out the window. Our new producer, Jesse, came up with a game, Oscar or Oscar. So he's going to provide a movie for us, and we have to guess if it won an Oscar or just had some dude named Oscar.
Oh, my God. That's a good game, Jesse.
Yeah. I wish we could get a producer like that.
Yeah,
that
God,
good.
Jesse, gosh, can you be a part of our show?
Back. He's
just
not sleeping overnight. He has kids. Like, cut Justin.
He has one kid.
One
slow
child.
Down.
And
one.
He made
one
that choice as a straight man.
Yeah. That's what you get.
That's what you get for having unprotected sex. No, I'm just kidding. They wanted to have the kids. Hey. All right, you guys. Well, we have a great show for you tomorrow. Spay and neuter these humans. I'm just kidding.
Spay and neuter your
humans. We're in rare form today. All right, well, I'm going to go get my diet cabbage soup that AJ made for me out of the fridge. And we'll be back tomorrow as it's day three of me being vegan. Yeah, I said it.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. I'm committing.
Spay and neuter your lesbians, everyone.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.